going to argue that we should replace the Electoral College with majority win national popular vote presidential elections. First, the United States is founded on the self-evident truth that we are all created equal. Yet the Electoral College gives greater weight to votes from less populous states, making, for example, a vote in Wyoming worth four times as much as a vote in Florida.
There is something about the Electoral College system of selecting for the president that seems patently unjust. I mean, the most obvious problem is that you have people who get elected to the president who do not have majority of the popular vote. Well, how can that be right? You know, that seems fundamentally wrong. And if you look at more particular cases like Wyoming versus Florida, as Dr. Adam Caton at University of West Florida is pointing out in this debate that took place at UWF, it seems completely wrong that people in a less populated area, because of the Senate and because of the impact that has on the Electoral College, giving a place like Wyoming three votes when it really should have about a third of a vote, I mean, if you really do the math of it, then how is it possible that they get so much more influence over who becomes president? And, you know, places that are more densely populated like Texas, California, and Florida have much less representation. That seems fundamentally wrong. This was a great event that they put on last week, this discussion about whether we should go to a national popular vote or whether we should have, you know, the system that we have right now in the Electoral College. The response by Dr. Alfred Kuzan and the beginning, like this is, you know, Adam Caton gave a whole bunch of arguments. You know, it's a debate. He gave a whole bunch of arguments for getting rid of the Electoral College. And then Alfred Kuzan, the professor in response, gave a whole bunch of arguments in favor of keeping it. One of which is, well, look, if you're worried about vote dilution, the Senate is an even better example of that, obviously, because the Senate, everybody gets two votes no matter what size state you are. How can California and Wyoming get the same power in the Senate? That's ridiculous. And if that's your test of whether the system is correct, then not only do you have to get rid of the Electoral College, you have to get rid of the Senate. You have to turn the Senate into something like the House. Well, there are reasons that this was all put together. And the reason in part is because we are not a collection of individuals. We are a collection of states. Florida is a collection of individuals, but the country is a collection of states.
We need to understand that it is a federal system composed of states, and the federal government was built from the ground up, and that the presidency actually fits into that system. There are no other elections that are nationwide. All elections are by state, for the House, for the Senate, for the president. There are no national referenda, right? So it would be a completely different thing.
There's no such thing as a national election. There are a bunch of state elections, a bunch of state elections for the president. And then those states then comprise the Electoral College, which is not a name that's in the Constitution, of course. And that's how we pick the president. But you don't have federal referenda. If you want to ratify an amendment, we don't do that as a nation. We do that as states. And each state is a yes or a no on affirming the amendment, right? And then three quarters get it and you get it. So he's pointing out that there's a basic misconception in the idea of the national popular vote mattering. And the basic misconception is that we are somehow a nation of individuals when, in fact, we are a nation of states, and the states are the key. And also that this entire system, and he quoted John F. Kennedy earlier about this, but that every piece in this system that is the federal constitution is designed to work in conjunction with every other piece. And if all of a sudden you do some aftermarket dramatic change, like, for example, go with the national popular vote, it's very hard to know in advance how that might throw the entire system out of whack.
Earlier, I quoted then-Senator John Kennedy's solar system metaphor for the American system of government, in which the presidency is an integral part. Indeed, the structure is an intricate one with three branches of government with overlapping jurisdictions, the bicameral Congress, staggered elections in the Senate, and a judiciary of members appointed for good behavior. The system operates as the frame is intended.
Exactly. It does. And if you suddenly make the presidency separated from the authority and the original sovereignty of the states, then you might well get almost anything as an outcome. You know, maybe all of a sudden presidents don't have to care too much about certain states or a bunch of states because they're just looking for the large bases of popular electoral power, like, you know, big cities or California or something like that. It's hard to know in advance how this would throw things out of whack. And one of the things that See, we don't do a good enough job of explaining civics and the logic behind the Constitution and the principles that make it work. Most of you know, okay, and most people who go through public education in the United States know that there is a check and balance concept in the Constitution. At least, if I didn't believe that, I would probably go home and cry. People may not understand how that works, why it works, but if you just say checks and balances, the average American, 50%+, I gotta believe, understands that idea. Now, how it works needs some explaining, but even the Electoral College system is part of the check and balance. I'll explain in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
We're looking good this morning. Nothing to speak of just yet. Tiger Point's flowing smoothly so far. I-10, I-110 checking in clear. Highway 90 in Milton and Pace also looking good. If you have traffic tips, text them to 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. So back to this conversation that was held at UWF last week. Very, very great. I mean, like, I was really impressed. This is fantastic stuff that they were going through. And I'm glad they did this. And I think everybody, this is almost like I wish everybody should study this, which is why I'm doing it on the radio, because I think this is really important stuff that you're just not going to get in the nightly news. You're not going to get in our typical newscast. And I'm not, you know, I'm going to go over the county commission meeting and the city council meeting. And you don't get this, okay? But this is the bedrock of everything else that we do. If we don't understand this, then all of a sudden people are voting for the proposal for a national popular election, or they're voting for the workaround that would make it so. And every year we get a bill filed like this in Tallahassee that, Florida will change to a system where we become part of the National Popular Vote Compact, where if enough states whose popular votes put together, or whose electoral votes put together comprise more than half, like enough to win the election, then we all agree to pick our electors based on the national popular vote. And that there are several states who are a part of this. That is a movement in this country. I don't think that movement's going to work, but it is a movement. Anyway, so back to what Dr. Alfred Kuzan, a teacher at UWF, was professor of philosophy, professor of political science at UWF, what he was explaining is that there is a check and balance value to the Electoral College. And what that means is you're going to create division in your government. You know, people often complain that Congress is ineffective and doesn't operate very well or very efficiently. Awesome. It's not supposed to. It is supposed to be slow, clunky, inefficient, and frustrating. You know why? Fast governments exist under totalitarian states where you have a king or you have a dictator, and they can do what they want quickly. You don't want quick government. Quick government is always bad for the people. And when things are really pressing, you know, like Pearl Harbor, okay, you get quick government. Why? Because in a real emergency where there's a really obvious right way to go, we get that right way. Otherwise, you want division. You want separation of power. You want one part of government checking or balancing another part of government. And we tend to think of things like, you know, the executive in the White House checks the Congress, and the Supreme Court checks the president and the Congress. Okay, all true. But there is a way in which even the Electoral College operates as a check.
Since 1880, 60% of presidential winners have been Republicans, while during the same period, Democrats have controlled the House about 60% of the time, and the Senate approximately 55% of the time. Thus, divided government has been, though not the rule, frequent enough and with increasing frequency since 1994 to check overwinning ambition or overreach by one or the other of the elected branches.
In other words, the House representing more sort of popular vote mechanics, right? Because it's more close to that system. You get 60% control by Democrats. The presidency, you get 60% control by the Republicans. Well, how can that be fair? Don't ask whether it's fair. Ask whether it's functional. It means that there's gridlock. It means that there's conflict in government. It means that you don't get quick government. You don't get violation of people's rights. When you have unified government, you're more likely to violate people's rights and do things that are bad long term. So balance comes from the disagreement being represented. And, you know, regardless of who gets the power source, if Democrats are getting Congress more or the House more and Republicans are getting the presidency more, that's actually a good thing for the country overall. And if you suddenly create this more streamlined system where the, you know, the popular vote winner gets the presidency, and that will no doubt favor Democrats, okay, under the way things are laid out right now, well, all of, I mean, and so it's no surprise why Democrats are in favor of this system, but, you know, even Democrats should recognize that there's a value in the slow, frustrating, annoying, clunky, dysfunctional check and balance system that we have in place. That's done pretty well for us for a couple of hundred years. And the other thing is, you know, we have this mistaken notion, as Dr. Kazan pointed out, that it's what counts and what we think should count. And a lot of times we just kind of think, well, the individual vote should count, and therefore it's not fair that, you know, the individual vote winners, even though the system is not built to produce individual vote winners, right? They don't campaign to get individual votes or the national popular vote. They campaign to get electoral votes. So you can't really say what the system would produce if we had a national popular vote as the decider, because nobody's ever campaigned for that to be the outcome. And it might well turn out very differently if they did, because everybody's gaming now for the Electoral College win. So you don't know what you would get. Much like in baseball, you know, if you were, or you could, there's any metaphor for any number of sports here, but let's take baseball. If the winner of the World Series was the team that got the most runs total over seven games, that would be very different from the winner of the World Series being whichever team managed to win four individual games. Just like if you made football a particular game, let's say, or even who would go into the Super Bowl. Let's say the Super Bowl becomes the total number of points or even yards. The total number of yards you get over the course of the season. Well, that might produce an incredibly different result from the number of wins you get over the season, right? And that's the point. Once you pick a system, you can't then complain that that overall system is not producing the result you want, because the people don't play the game according to the system that you want. They play it according to the system that we actually have.
In the World Series, who wins the pension? Well, it is not the one that scored the most runs. It's the one that won the most games. They got seven games, and you can win four games with only one or two runs because you fought it out the other team. And the other team scored 12 runs, and yet they lost. So that's just the nature of the game.
I mean, it's right. You could have 2-1, 1-0, 1-0, 3-2. You could have a plus 4 run total in the four games that you win, and you could have a minus 50 run total in the other three games, and it wouldn't matter. And that's the point. The system is built around the way we count what matters. And there's a variety of other reasons, but you can't necessarily argue that look at what would happen over it. Now, the argument that people for the popular vote will say is, well, fine, but we think it turns out this way. Let's try it. And the conservatives, not because they're like philosophically attached to winning the election that they win, but because they don't believe change for change sake is good. Like, conservatives think that we should generally keep a structure until you're sure it's got to go. Because if it's worked pretty well so far, don't tinker. You know, progressives tend to think, no, tinker with everything. Everything is open for grabs. Conservatives are like, well, maybe the reason it's worked, you don't understand. Maybe we don't understand. Let's just keep doing it how we're doing it. And, you know, to that point, it's working really well compared to every other country, you know, where things have been a little bit different in a lot of cases. 437-1620. Anyway, this is a really good conversation. I'm so glad they had it at UWF. And my big thanks to Adam Caton, Professor Adam Caton and Alfred Kuzan, who led the conversation, the debate, which by their own admission is not their favorite thing to do and they'd never really done before. 624 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep that field! Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience news team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
9, 10, 11, 12. Good morning, 627 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Looking good. We have the Quarry Station backed up onto New Warrington there, so please use caution in that area. But everything else is looking good. I-10, I-110 checking in clear. Gulf Breeze is looking good so far. Watch out for that Tiger Point. Traffic starting soon. This traffic report is not brought to you by anybody yet. If you have any traffic info, text 437-16. I've been so nervous at this job. I just started this job.
You're doing great.
Guys, I've been trying
to
do a good job.
Great.
I've been having nightmares. Like last night, I had this nightmare. I came in, and I had this radio voice where I... You know, introducing this prize for bid. Now back to you, Andrew. Like, I woke up like, what is wrong with me?
That's awesome. I mean, I don't wish that on anybody. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden giving a primetime speech tonight about the wars in Israel and Ukraine. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says his speech will begin at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. The president was back in Washington last night after a brief visit to Israel. Another vote for Speaker of the House expected today. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan fell short or shorter than he did of the 217 votes needed yesterday. And kind of an interesting discovery over in St. Augustine, a boat dating back to the 1800s was recently
found. Yeah, I saw this.
Found,
amazing, right?
Underneath a road, of all places, covered in silt.
That's where most people bury their boats, is under the road.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's where I keep mine. Who doesn't keep it underneath the roadway, right?
Weirdos.
But archaeologist Sam Turner says it could reveal a lot about how boats were built in Florida back then. He talked to First Coast News Artifacts about it and says things like this seldom survive.
No, I agree. I think it's a really, really interesting story. David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, poor Jim Jordan. You know, you're going to give him 15 rounds like you gave Kevin McCarthy. I don't think he's going to get there, sadly, at this point. I think, and every, you know, he's getting fewer each time, which is not a good sign. John Boehner, of all people, got a vote. Crying John got a vote to come back to be Speaker of the House, so I don't think that's going to happen anyway. Somebody's trying to have a little bit of a fun. Christina Leavenworth and their folks at Leavenworth Realty are just fantastic realtors. They get the job done. You know, I've been talking about her for so many years. She's such a good friend, and she's so good. And one of the things that when I talk about her, I don't really get into a whole lot is, like, she somehow or other has figured out just all of the right series of things when pricing a home, when staging a home, how to list it, what day of the week to list it on, like all of this stuff, okay? Even how to photograph the how to take the pictures that, you know, somehow or other, okay, she's figured out this process to get the best price for the home. I know, because so many times they're selling them in a day or two or same day with, you know, multiple offers. You know, it's calmed down a little bit recently over like where it was, say, 2 years ago. But still, a lot of times getting those kind of results. Why? I don't know, but they've got this process that really does work incredibly well. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth. and her team at Levin Rinky Realty.
President Biden is back in the U.S. after meeting with Israeli officials in the aftermath of Hamas's attack and the ongoing war in Gaza. Speaking to reporters on Air Force One in Germany, he expressed concern for Americans still being held hostage.
I'm hopeful we can get some Americans out as well of Gaza, and I'm hopeful we can continue to work toward getting other Americans out through other means as well.
Has a primetime speech scheduled for 8 p.m. Eastern time today on the war and the war in Ukraine. The House of Representatives expected to try again today to elect a new speaker after Jim Jordan failed once again to get enough votes yesterday. And a deputy in Southern California rushed to a hospital after being shot Wednesday night in Palm Springs. Suspect in custody. No word on the deputy's condition. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. It's 6:31 here, and right now we've got 59 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Florida Senator Rick Scott speaking out against the Biden administration's plan to provide $100 million in humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza and the West Bank.
That's our money. To go while they're holding Americans. They're holding Americans, and we're going to give them money.
Yesterday afternoon, Scott introduced a bill called the Stop Taxpayer Funding of Hamas Act that would ensure no taxpayer dollars could go to Gaza until President Biden certifies to Congress that the money can be spent without benefiting terrorist organizations and that there's no hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza. International Paper has announced they'll be stopping production on pulp machines at two of their facilities, including the one in Cantonment. The company announced that pulp machines in Regalwood, North Carolina, and in Pensacola would be stopped, along with permanently closing a containerboard mill in Orange, Texas. That decision should affect about 100 jobs here in Pensacola. The machine at the Cantonment plant is currently idled, though, and won't be resuming production. The company says where possible, their goal is to minimize impact by using current vacancies, retirements, attrition, and other roles. An Alabama woman that was arrested at Wild Greg's back in June now filed a lawsuit against the bar and two employees. According to the News Journal, Carly Reed alleges that while she was at the facility in the bathroom, two guards became physical and held her down. She further alleges during that struggle, she was exposed and the guards attempted to take pictures. The bar being accused of negligence in the lawsuit. On the night of June 9th, Reed was arrested by PPD officers and accused of initiating a brawl. Wild Greg's owner, Greg Urban, tells the News Journal he believes the lawsuit is retaliatory. Reed is suing for $50,000 in damages and wants a jury trial. Well, several weeks into the new school year now, seventh graders over at Warrington Preparatory Academy are on lockdown after a string of misbehavior from some students. Some parents aren't too happy about the disciplinary measures.
This is just not what they promised. Yep. Like, this is Charter School USA is, I mean, quite literally worse than what we were dealing with Warrington at its worst.
The school has reportedly canceled all of their elective classes. Students are being allowed scheduled bathroom breaks per each day, and they've also canceled hot lunches. Students are now taking a bag lunch and going back to a locked classroom. The school says this discipline comes after a string of misbehavior that won't be tolerated, including one incident where a bathroom was intentionally flooded, and that damaged several classrooms. It is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing out there this morning?
Not too bad so far this morning. The main gate at Corey Station is backed up to New Warrington, so just use caution if you're headed out that way. I-10, I-110 checking in clear. 98 in Gulf Breeze and Navarre is looking good. Tiger Point's going to start backing up soon, though. If you have any traffic info, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a few passing clouds, small chance of a stray shower, 10% chance of rain overall, temperatures warming into the 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures will be dropping into the 60s for lows. As you go into Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 59 in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, and 57 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashenko with Your Money Now. It's called Wilma, and it's the new way you'll be boarding your United Airlines flight, window, middle, aisle. United says it plans to fix one of the most annoying parts of travel, boarding. Starting next week, economy passengers are boarding, and those sitting in the window seat will go first, followed by middle seats and aisles. United says the process is more efficient and can shave minutes off what is often a frustrating and contentious process. Digital freight startup Convoy, a business founded by former Amazon executives that has drawn a star-studded lineup of tech investors, has suspended operations and is winding down its core business as it seeks alternatives that may include selling its technology. Convoy, which has been hurt by crumbling freight demand, told employees yesterday it would stop accepting shipments until further notice, and it was rescheduling or canceling existing loads. On Wall Street, futures are lower after stocks closed sharply lower yesterday. And that's Your Money Now.
Let's head out. The theater's about to close.
Wait, what does that sign say?
A warning, your step?
No, next to it.
If you are 60 or older, at increased risk of serious consequences from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
With warning labels, talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. RSV vaccines, including Pfizer's, are available. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Thinning hair is normal, but it doesn't have to be your fate.
Once I started taking Nutrafol, I could visibly see my hair get thicker.
It made my hair stronger.
Nutrafol, the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
You've got nothing to lose and everything to grow. Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Beach-A-Ween is back tomorrow from 4 to 8. Bring the family out to the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk to enjoy a free night of fun. Bounce houses, games, face painting, food, and
a Cat Country Kids costume contest.
This freaky fun event is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce. Celebrate Beach-A-Ween on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk from 4 to 8 tomorrow. It's Beach-A-Ween.
Trick-or-treat!
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, enjoy another evening downtown with friends and neighbors for another Gallery Night Pensacola Trick or Treat Edition. Check out the newest edition, Gallery Night's Market Zone at Government, across from Plaza Ferdinand. The Pensacola Lionfish Festival is Saturday and Sunday on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Enjoy the games, educational booths, art, filet demos, and eat some lionfish. See PensacolaLionfishShootout.com. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the county administrator for Escambia County, and I have known Wes as we don't always tell this story, but it's worth knowing. I've known Wes since he was the roads director, and he taught me about the Crescent Lake Dam. in the 2014 flood follow-up to that. That's kind of when I met Wes. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Good to have you. And like I told you at the Seville grill-off event, state cook-off on Friday, I said, see, if you just stick with me, eventually you'll be the county administrator, and here you are. You know, you never know how far you can get.
That's right.
Governor Moreno, one day, you never know, could happen. Got a lot of stuff on this meeting today.
I know.
A lot of stuff to get to. Let's start with what I view as the good news, like the best good news, is Escambia County Fire Rescue, we're buying more apparatus, an aerial, two pumpers, a mobile breathing trailer unit, about $3 million. And, you know, yes, please buy more, right?
Yes, this is, I met with Adam Reed and Eric Gilmore a couple weeks ago now, and, Adam's just doing great as fire chief. He's very methodical in his planning, and he has a plan. You know, he brought me a plan that would allow us to go ahead and make these purchases. He's also got a plan to extend the life of some of our current apparatus, take some of our more heavily used apparatus and move them to areas that are maybe not running as many calls, and then take those apparatus that have lesser miles and bring them further down and kind of rotate them around a little bit that way. He's just doing great. But, yeah, this is good news. More apparatus, you know, we in the budget, we approved 21 new firefighters as well. So,
oh, great.
Our fire's doing really well, and so I'm optimistic and excited about it.
Now, I will tell you, when I pair these side by side, that raises my eyebrow for just a second, but here we go. The Ashton Brosnahan building just unveiled yesterday, which is it's a multi-purpose. It's got some meeting space, locker rooms, mostly built, I think, around the soccer tournament, now that we're getting that every year. Roughly the same total dollar value, you know, $3 million for the pumper trucks and the aerials and all that, $2.7 million for the building at Ashton Brosnahan, right?
Yeah, I think maybe what kind of goes unseen, and we'll have some numbers coming out before too much longer, is a lot of that work was done in-house. A lot of the site work was done by in-house forces. Even some of the construction work was done by in-house forces. And so there was just a lot of in-house from the road department to parks and recreation to the extension service and our arborists and Michael Rogers has done a great job of pulling these departments together, and departments have done a great job of working together to accomplish a lot of that work. So we're going to pull together. How much it would have cost us if we had to bid all that out?
And the primary justification, use, whatever for that, is going to be the SEC soccer tournament mostly, although it will have other benefits as well, right? And there's no doubt that the tourism money and the tax, bed tax, all the stuff that's coming from the SEC soccer tournament is a big deal. But that's the main primary justification use, right?
That's the main primary at this time. I do know that coming up sometime in 2024, the building will be available to be rented.
Oh, okay.
For different events and such for the public. And so that's something we're moving towards.
Okay, so it's sort of like a dual-purpose community center-ish, small community center kind of concept?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right, interesting. Mm-hmm. You guys are also today, or your board members, I should say, are going to look at approving sort of first steps to possibly buy the Motel 6 across from Bell Fenson Supply on US 29 south of airport. To do what this would be like rental housing? Is that kind of the idea?
It's the idea, the concept is affordable rentals. And we have some folks that are in our shelters that actually have jobs and have income, but they don't have enough income to go out into the current market and rent. But yet they are working and they've been participating in some of the wraparound supportive services to get back on their feet. And so the concept would be to take those folks and put them, those that qualify, into this facility. They would pay rent, and we would go out for an RFP to have somebody run the facility.
Okay.
And provide the wraparound services, and then transition them, ideally transition them out of that facility and just into the regular market. What that would do is create shelter space as well, clear up some of the space in the shelters to bring more people in, and kind of get a process going and a cycle going. And that's the concept. But what we're doing today is just asking for permission to do some due diligence, you know, get appraisals, assess the building, assess the zoning and make sure it's all that's good and lined up. And then, of course, you know, you get through all that process. At the end of the day, it's what's the price? And so we'll see where we go as time moves on. But that's what we're doing today, is asking for permission to do that.
No, I think that's a really interesting, because, you know, we've talked, you know, many times about the kind of like the low barrier shelter and that end of the spectrum. But at the other end of the managing this challenge spectrum, you have the need for some kind of, like you say, kind of semi-transitional housing, you know, just barely below the open market, but something, you know, better than for the people, like you say, who have income and jobs and, you know, really could be out of a shelter if only there was something that they could afford. So that's interesting. I'm very curious to see how that shows up, but I love the creativity of at least looking at that possibility. We're talking to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Hang on for just a second, Wes. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
The main gate at Corey Station is backed up onto New Warrington, so be careful in that area. Highway 90 and the North Davis Highway southbound, north of the Escambia River Bridge, is starting to really slow down there. 98 and Gulf Breeze and Navarre is looking good. Tiger Point's just starting to slow down a little bit. This traffic report is brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk and drug driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MADD.org. If you have any traffic tips, text them into 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Another dimension of the housing shortage problem that the county is trying to solve is we're looking at approving another, I think it's seven properties to be developed into houses. And this is not the first wave of houses. This is the second wave of houses you're looking to build. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Our first wave of houses is finishing up here in a couple of weeks, and we're excited about that. And we will partner with a nonprofit to get five families into those houses. And then we're going to build these seven. And then we'll have seven or eight more behind these. So as we move into 2024, my vision and our vision is we're going to drive to put, you know, 20 plus houses, you know, in the area on county owned lots that we own already, and work with our nonprofit and just work that into the spectrum as well.
So the county is basically working as the funding source to get these projects going, as the developer, you might say, but it's not intending to be in the real estate business, just intending to facilitate development to get houses out onto the market so we can start to alleviate the housing shortage, right? That's the idea?
That's the idea. Yeah. No, we're not going to be in the real estate business. We're not going to sell the house. We're not going to pick the families who go in those houses. We're going to work with a qualified nonprofit, and we will give those houses to the nonprofit, and they will follow the processes of putting the families in the houses.
Very good. I know a lot of people who use the Pensacola Beach Fishing Pier have been concerned, and I know you have as well, about the poor state of the pier ever since Sally. We're finally in the process of getting that fixed, but that's going to mean that the pier is going to be closed for a while. What's going to be the status, and how long is it going to take?
So we just opened bids on the pier. The bids came in at $8.2 million. So we're taking a step back. We've met with our engineer, and we feel like we can modify the scope some. And there's some items that were more wish list items that really were not Hurricane Sally damage, apparently. So we're going to knock the scope back down, go back out, and we still feel like we can bring that pier back into operation by spring. And that's our goal. We know the cobia season starts, you know, running. The cobia, it's a big thing out there. So we're trying to meet that schedule, and engineering and Joy Pikeman are driving hard to do that.
Okay, so we're looking for a lower scope so we can get a lower price to get it functional, and you still think we can get it back in by the pier. Is it? It's not closed down yet, right? Or is it? I mean,
no,
what's
no, it's not closed down yet.
But if you approve, it will be closed until the repairs are complete. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously we'll keep track of that and keep me apprised, because I know all of our fishermen are like, oh, you know, that makes them very nervous.
Yeah,
because,
yeah. Well, it's a big thing.
Yeah,
you know,
they love that
like
pier.
There's never really a good time to do it, you know.
No, there's never a good time to shut down such a very popular public amenity. I did want to ask you, a listener had asked me, the repaving project, I guess, on Mobile Highway, pardon me, I don't know this area all that well and don't drive it, but between Pine Forest and Blue Angel, has just kind of been languishing incomplete for quite some time, like 7 weeks or so. And he was curious if there was any timeline on the expected finishing of that project. I don't even know if that's an R project or an FDOT project.
It's an FDOT project.
Okay.
I don't know the exact timeline. I can find out and text it to you. But I don't know the exact timeline. I do know. I know I'm very familiar with it. I drive it every day.
Okay.
I do know they're doing some work at Klondike and Mobile Highway to get a traffic light installed there. And I don't know if they're waiting to get that work mostly completed and then come through and finish that portion of the roadway. And they got, you know, even in front of my where I turn into my subdivision, one lane is resurfaced and one lane is just has a leveling course on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their timeline is. I do know they're doing most of the work at night, or all of the work at night so far. And but I'll have Chris Phillips contact FDOT and ask him what the timeline will be.
Okay, great. And I mean, Chris can just text me if you want, or you know, if you want to let me know next week, you know, whatever you find out. If you find something out, that would be fantastic. And then the last thing, and I just thought this was an interesting one. This is an I didn't know kind of thing. I was reading one of the items having to do with approving the schedule for travel. And I guess, is it true that the Board of County Commissioners, the five commissioners, you and the attorney, have to have out-of-county travel approved by the board in advance? Is that right?
Yeah. The board has to have their travel approved, and they approve theirs, and they approve mine, and they approve Allison's. Every county employee has to have their travel approved for certain reasons. One, if you're going on a conference, there's financial things involved.
Sure, right.
Per diems, there's hotel costs, and all of that has to follow a process of approval, or those reimbursements and those per diems won't be paid. The other thing is, if you have a county employee going traveling out of county and they don't have approval and they have a mishap and they get an accident, it really changes our liability and our risk.
Okay.
And so that's, and then we follow that process, even for employees just going to Mobile for a day. You know, we have some of our fleet guys that take vehicles over to Mobile to be worked on. Well, they have to have pre-approval to do that. Even though they're not staying overnight, and it's not really a conference, but they're traveling out of county in a county vehicle, and it needs to be, you know, the risk and liability needs to be lessened. So, yeah, everybody gets their travel approved, and at the higher levels, yes, the board approves, and you know, they go to Florida Association counties, National Association counties, they go to military flying day in Washington and certain things, but
oh yeah, okay, I know where I was confused. So okay, this is I'm just dumb. This is for work related travel. This is not just for if they want to leave the county.
No, this is work related.
Okay, because
yeah.
When I first read it, I thought, man, you know, those are strict requirements that the county commissioners can't leave the county without having their travel approved. That makes so much more sense. I'm glad I asked.
It's work-related travel.
Got it.
Things that the travel the county is going to reimburse for.
That now, all of a sudden, that makes perfect sense. Well, thank you for explaining that to me. I learn things every day. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator, always joins us on a Thursday. The meeting is this morning, a morning meeting. I was late because there's not two meetings. Wes, thanks so much for the time this morning. Have a great meeting today. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. We'll see you, Andrew.
You bet. 653 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport. A sleek, compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices for DAG, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
It's not too late.
Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free.
That's right, loan-free.
PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
.356, Florida average is .327, in Mississippi it's .304, in California it's .552, in Navarre, east and west, it's .298 at the Walmarts, and Midway .298 at Tiger Point, that same price, .299 at the Liberty, but for the Garcon Point Bridge, .298. .319 in proper, Gulf Breeze proper, .304 at the Raceway in Milton, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy, .305 through Pace, although I wouldn't drive west past there because it's a mess that you'll hear about here from Jake in just a second.
I'll tell you in just a moment.
Yeah, no kidding. Ugh. .290 on 9 Mile at the Walmart, .299 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and .303 coming in from the southwest side, either at the Navy Murphy or at the Cervantes Shell Cervantes Shell Station. 657 News Radio 92.3. How bad is it to come in from Milton today, Jake?
Oh, buddy, it's bad. Accident on Highway 90 in Milton, heading into Pensacola after the causeway. Looking really, really slow there. It's solid red on my map, so if you can find a way around that, please do. If you have traffic info other than this, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, this is an if you can take Avalon kind of day. We've got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Netflix is raising its prices again. The company says its premium ad-free plan is going to jump by $3 a month to $22.99 this week. Their basic plan increasing up to $11.99. Netflix reported their subscription numbers this week showed a 9% increase in paid accounts this year. The suspect alleged to be responsible for the killing of rapper Tupac Shakur is set to appear in court in Las Vegas today. 60-year-old Dwayne Davis is accused of orchestrating the drive-by shooting that killed Tupac and injured record producer Suge Knight. Prosecutors say it was in retaliation for an attack on his nephew. Suge Knight says he will not testify against him, though.
Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. A very short future news. Will all of the Arabs and Palestinian protesters around the world and here in the United States apologize for the errors about the hospital, that it was clearly not by the Israelis and that it was probably only a couple dozen people, not 500?
No.
No. Why would they do that? That's it. We'll be back.
Wasn't us.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.